Hello and welcome to today's edition of Sports Lit 101, sort of from the road. I actually will be walking around the rail trails of Belfast with a friend visiting from Germany. So we're going to take another look at Cardinal Points, Poems on St. Louis Cardinals Baseball from McFarland Press by Joseph Stanton. Joseph will also join us later. Now, last week we talked about this book, and as people may remember, there was a wonderful way that this is organized. The poems, and there are over 100 pages of poetry, begin with the 1920s, go up through this century in Cardinal baseball. Now, the St. Louis Cardinals have been in the World Series 19 times. They have won it 11 times, second only to the New York Yankees. And their rich tradition is sometimes something we forget here in the East. People certainly remember the 67 series between the Red Sox and the Cardinals. If you're old enough to remember that, it stays with people for a long time, the incredible performances of people on both teams. But what I thought we would do is take a look at some of the later poems in this book. And then when Joseph is on, we can talk about how he came about to do this and why he decided this was the way to organize this. So I'm going to start with a poem of his called Willie McGee Almost Single-Handedly Wins Game 3 of the 1982 World Series. The New York writers called him E.T. because he seemed shy and otherworldly, and because his ears stuck out, like the endearing aliens in the movie. And in Game 3 in Milwaukee, the homers he hit and the homers he took away by his uncanny catches in center exceeded earthly understanding. He deserved an X-File all his own. As he became an unidentified flying outfielder, snatching the extraterrestrial ball high above the wall. Herzog said if Willie'd done this in New York, it'd be called the greatest performance ever. Still, a few writers knew it was time to phone home. The truth was out there. Willie McGee almost single-handedly wins the World Series, Game 3 of the 1982 World Series. The next poem is called Suter's Sinker from Hell. Anybody that ever got a chance to see Bruce Suter pitch saw what an incredible sinker he had, one of the very best of any era. Some hurled balls can overturn worlds. Candy Cummings' bedazzling curve invented for the Hartford Dark Blues somewhere around 1872 baffled batters then and ever since. Likewise, Whitlow Wyatt's sneaky slider contrived for the 40s Dodgers. And then Fred Martin engineered the split-fingered fastball and taught it to his first and best pupil, a guy Whitey Herzog would come to call a bullpen named Bruce. Suter's sinker from hell made him as close to perfect as any pitcher can get in the playoffs in 82. His ERA stood at a well-rounded 0.00. The secret Suter said was speed. The batter said no way to tell his straight 86-mile-per-hour heaters from his 82-mile-per-hour splitters. So the gentle, bushy-bearded Bruce, who loved to go fishing for days, hardly moving, adrift in vast lakes, became the guru of the ideal, the almost unhittable pitch, became the most feared of hurlers who could make the strongest men weep as they found themselves swinging with chagrin, disbelief at balls already dead and buried at their feet. The next poem is called Joaquin Andujar. To describe himself, Joaquin favored the phrase one tough Dominican, and he could be rough on hitters, after winning game after game when he was feeling fine. In the series in 82, Ted Simmons bounced one off his leg, and poor Andujar was carried away. He writhed in agony for hours and hobbled around on crutches for days. But then, a suddenly cured Joaquin pitched the series final and won. And these, of course, are all true stories. These are not things that that Stanton has made up. They're all based on events that happened in Cardinal history. What I really like that he does is some of these are very short. Some of them are very long. And I wanted to read this one about Fernando Tatis. Fernando Tatis hits two grand slams in one inning. I was thinking about this the other day when the Red Sox had 23 hits in a game and lost. He was thinking about the time Bill Lee said he'd love to pitch a 27-hit shutout where he gave up a hit, struck out a guy, gave up a hit, struck out a guy, gave up a hit, struck out a guy until he had all 27 outs, 27 hits and no runs. This is a short poem, but it's great. Fernando Tatis hits 2 grand slams in 1 inning. They were the first he'd ever hit. What are the odds? 2 swings, 8 runs. Maybe this means anything can happen. World peace, an end to hunger, the merciful cancellation of every sitcom on TV, a cure for all disease. The Tatis miracle brings despair, however briefly, to its knees. I think that's a wonderful poem. That was one I picked out early on that I really liked. I'm going to read a few more here. And there are, as I say, there are many more. These next ones come from the 2000s. One of them is called Dreaming with the Greatest Rookie, Albert Pujols. Dreaming with the Great Rookie, Albert Pujols. As the summer of 2001 draws to a close, Albert Pujols seems manna from heaven. A fearless, extraordinary young man, equally at home in infield and outfield, who hits for power and for average. He's a kid that doesn't act his age. As they said about Musial, his first year, how can anybody be this good? Dreaming grander for a just-begun career can be a risky game. But it is what we should do, what we need to do. As with the butterfly in the Shuangzu, who might turn out to be true is real, too. And then September 17th, 2001, seems a fitting poem to read at this time of the year. There were flags everywhere. When baseball came back on air, 7 days after the horror, and there were moving prayers for all the terribly murdered. At every stadium, there were salutes to troops of police and fire and other workers of rescue. There were songs and placards and chants of USA, USA. And in St. Louis, there was the venerable Jack Buck, our lost Harry's better half, trembling with his disease, but with a voice still rich and clear, reading for us his rhymed seasons. Jack Buck, of course, one of the greatest of all announcers. And then one more here from the what's called post-game points, which is the addition of these. This is called The Sorrow of the Big Trade. With free agency and the experience of most of us today and with much more active trading and people swapping teams, this may not ring as true as it will for some of us who are a tad bit older. The sorrow of the big trade. How could the Cardinals have traded White and Boyer, Flood and McCarver? When such a trade's in hand and in the news, it's hard for fans to come to understand, yeah, it's just part of the business, part of the game. That's what the owners say, and of course, it is true. Teams are made as well as lost that way. The Cardinals of 64 would not have come to pass without the fortunate pilfering of Brock from Chicago, Grote from Pittsburgh. Even a seeming absurd misfortune can turn out to be a good thing. The trading of Hornsby for Frankie Frisch seemed to fans insane, but as the seasons changed, Frisch proved to be a gain, a benefit well worth the price. We all know that such deals are in the cards, but as they come and go to and from the cards, there is a sense of loss that goes beyond the rational. We try to remember that these people belong to themselves only and must make their own way in a world that visits all of us, player and fan alike, with larger misfortunes than changes of city. And yet the sorrow and the anger come, small lessons in the commerce of grief and the stock exchange of pity. Those poems are from Cardinal Points. Poems on St. Louis Cardinal Baseball from McFarland Press by Joseph Stanton, Professor Emeritus at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, who will be our guest in the near future on another edition of Sports Lit 101.